looking at House Bill 5040 this morning, and we will be opening a work session on public employees' retirement system. And with this, Mr. Weiland, do you have any initial comments for us here with your recommendations?
Oh, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have, I passed out our recommendations last Thursday afternoon. We staff recommendations with respect to the agency's budget were to accept the efficiencies that were offered up by the agency, identified by the agency. We believe that's pointing in the right direction, finally, for starting the glide path towards finishing up the, much of this temporary workload that's been temporary for 6 years now. At least it will have been temporary for 6 years by the end of this biennium. And to get the agency on a go-forward level keel to address and maintain operations and address the issues it has confronting it with dealing with the different retirement components of the plan, as well as the number of retirements and the services demanded by members, both employers and beneficiaries. The if you'll remember, there was an offer at the table. So our recommendation would be to reduce the budget by a little over $1 million. The numbers are there, and reduce some. There were four positions identified that would be eliminated. Also, there we are recommending, though, that position count, certain positions, they will not need funding or, quote, the full FTE equivalent authority for, because they will not have to pay those positions as they no longer need them as they approach the end of this life cycle of finishing off the strunk Eugene. So we are making a recommendation there of reducing just some FTE by about 4.75 FTE without identifying specific positions, giving the agency we're taking away some money that they won't need to use to pay those positions, but those, as the work is completed down the road, someone moves on, they won't need to refill the position to complete the work. So that's the reason for not identifying positions, but reducing some FTE and some dollars to acknowledge that glide path. The as you remember, there was a request made at the table by interest groups to add some staff to assist in application retirement application process. It was subsequently the Public Employees Retirement System staff met with the stakeholders. At least that's our understanding. I do know they also checked with their board, and what the staff has offered, and their board has reviewed this and approved that. We although I don't believe that's correct process. I mean, agency shouldn't come forward to Ways and Means and do an end around the existing board at PERS. Staff did check with its board, and they had recommended approval of two additional positions to help process retirement applications up front. In other words, and these two positions that they would be adding would be going to rural areas on a scheduled basis to help those members when they do the one day in advance of, they do some seminars and the like, would make some additional time available to members who would be retiring, whose applications would be prepared, and then brought forward to staff so they could be reviewed with the staff to see if there are any if there's any information that's missing or needs additional information is needed or questions arise. And Paul, Mr. Cleary, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but staff in the metro area around Portland can go into the PERS office with a retirement application form, go to the front desk, and PERS staff there have a checklist of things to review on that application and can give immediate feedback. That can also happen down here. They have some staff over here in the archives building. In the outlying areas, however, quite often they may have to mail them in. And there the time lag, if comes in through the mail, it gets sorted, it gets processed, it gets distributed to the right people. They review it. If there are questions and the like, it goes back in the form of another letter with back to the management slide. This time lag, if you will, causes problems sometimes. People are on vacation. It can delay an application upwards of outliers of a month and a half, 2 months, because this person may be gone when the letter is returned saying additional information is needed. They're trying to address this with some additional staff on a scheduled basis to be available to members out in the rural areas. Also, there is a plan in the metro and the valley area to add some additional days for application intake, what's called these called application days or
turn in form days.
Thank you, Paul. And around the early 2001, 2002, maybe before 03, early 03, the rush to the exits, they had a lot of people show up at the front door for turn in forms day, to the point where they also had to bring staff out in mass to kind of organize the lines and the like. So this PERS is trying to address the issue of getting those applications prepared correctly with the minimum amount of time and disruption to members. Their board has reviewed this, and so we are supportive of this. This is two positions and some services and supplies, kind of mileage and the like. And that's at a total cost of about $254,002 additional FTE. So staff is supportive of that request for those additional staff. The dollar-wise, what we were talking about, the net of the two is a reduction of about $910,000 off the agency budget. We are recommending that the budget report reflect the desire that PERS return to either the emergency board or Ways and Means, if it's in session as appropriate, to report on its progress with achieving where it's at with dealing with this workload, trying to get it down, the Strunk Eugene, the other issues. We've targeted the first and third quarters of calendar 08. That means the first report could be as early as January of 08, the last report September of 08. But it does give the agency time to work on this, continue working on it, and sends a message that we do want reports on the progress achieved and how we're getting where we're at in relationship to the workload. So that is with respect to the budget, our recommendations. We have reviewed also the performance measures, and we have recommended elimination, not approving their proposed performance number 8, which was the employer satisfaction survey. That, consistent with all other performance measures, agencies have one customer satisfaction key performance measure. They may have subsets, and we believe that PERS should be treated like other agencies. Lots of other agencies have different constituent groups that are different sets of customers. So we're recommending that although the employer satisfaction is important, it should be a subset of customer satisfaction overall. And so we're recommending that that one be eliminated, and we just then make their proposed number 9, number 8. I believe we've reviewed this with the agency and not heard any negative remarks towards our recommendations. Mr. Chair, that sums up my recommendations.
I guess to be perfectly legal, entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendations.
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to move the LFO recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved that we accept the LFO recommendations regarding PERS. Questions, Representative Polizio?
Well, I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment.
That's fine.
I think at a minimum we should have more folks who are going to be available both outside the Willamette Valley and also inside to do the face-to-face assistance on people and advising. I know it's been very popular in this building for the last 10 years or so to punish public employees, i.e. firefighters, police officers, nurses, because of perceptions and arguably, understandable perceptions that PERS had some problems. But I think if, number one, if we want to continue to recruit and retain police officers, firefighters, LFO analysts, and people who work for the state, that it's we shouldn't apologize for helping folks make intelligent decisions about what they're going to do vis-a-vis retirement. These are enormously important decisions. It's pretty complicated. You can divorce, medical situation. So I think this is a bare minimum. So I'm glad that, you know, I understand, Dallas, you talk about kind of an end around, and, you know, arguably the agency should have come and already had some this part of the proposal, but it seems to me this is part of this process, and so we can have a discovery and say, hey, you know what, maybe we should think about doing something differently. So I guess I don't really understand why that's a problem, but I would just urge all of us to support this at a bare minimum, and that it's to the state's advantage to help people make wise decisions with their retirement.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I tend to agree with what my colleague just said. But as it comes to the 2% reductions, and I've been somewhat confused about that through this whole process, but in a case that is not general fund, this is just a reduction to the overhead that they're charging their members. I'm assuming that that's how it goes.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, any money not spent on overhead remains in the trust fund to pay benefits.
Right. Yes, and that was my clumsy way of stating what you just said. So that's what I was curious. And is that the same that they're doing throughout the whole budget process when you have agencies that really are not general fund supported? And you're taking efficiencies, or are we not in general taking efficiencies?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I can't speak to many of the other budgets. I would maybe try to clarify my stance or my reason for the recommendation in this case, and that was that the agency has identified some improvements and towards the common end that we have been trying to drive at for a while, and that is to get the agency stabilized and to recognize that there's got to be an end point to the temporary workload that has been exacerbated or created, first of all, I think, by the reform legislation, and then they go this way, and then the lawsuits and how they're settled has caused a change of workload. There has been some concern about, at least my concern, about the nature and extent of the amount of staff that have been assigned to the work, and how they've not gone down. You know, the workload doesn't seem to have diminished, and this demonstrates. They've identified that it is going to start. We are going to reach that end. So it was more for that reason and taking control of some of the other costs. I particularly like a little bit of a, you know, this may upset some people. So their proposal to deny administrative hearings when there are just no facts that support the claim. That the past practice, well, if you've got a gripe, come forward and we'll go through the entire process, rather than say, no, there are no facts supporting it, so we're not going to go through this process any further. I believe that's a sound business decision, that people, there has been a past practice of bending over backwards and trying to accommodate all claims. And I think at a cost that is borne then by the whole system, and I believe this is a good approach for those that are more frivolous claims. The PERS and its board take very seriously claims for benefits that may have been denied or reduced for one reason or another, either disability or the like. But there are times when it's very clear in the law and a lot of other cases that this claim is without merit. and to proceed and carry on and have administrative hearings are unnecessary costs. And to take that stand and say, no, we're going to address these now and start to say it. If it doesn't have merit, we won't proceed and bear those costs. So I believe it sets the tone, it sets a direction for the agency. It tells the legislature that the agency is serious about taking control of some of its operations and driving to an even keel, a sustainable workforce level, yet flexible enough to deal with the upcoming workloads that we know that will be coming, if for no other reason than the boomers such as
And follow up. And I apologize because I was not calling this decision into question at all. I support it. I don't have any concerns with that. It's just the 2% piece that is still kind of eluding me, and the fact that, you know, we've been directed to save 2%, but in agencies that this is not general fund money and not available, it's just a reduction in their cost and not adding to our ability to take 2% and use it somewhere else. Or so.
My apologies, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My sense is that there's not an across-the-board application of 2%. And I think this just was fortuitous. I think that the agency identified some key things that could save it towards the 2%. I believe Mr. Cleary has a comment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Beyer, we're a trust fund funded. Paul Cleary, Executive Director of PERS. We're a trust fund funded agency similar to the state lands, and I've spent probably 20 years out of my 30-year career working in trust fund funded agencies, and I've always had the attitude that a dollar saved is a dollar earned, because for us, that money that we save then gets credited out to the members and employer accounts. We're always looking for efficiencies, and my board is always looking for them, and in the 3 years that I've been at PERS, we probably underspent our budget by somewhere between 5 to 7% each year. And so what we were able to do here, and you know, from a process standpoint, we had to put our budget request together about a year ago. And so we've learned some things in the workforce management plan for Strunk Eugene. We learned a lot from that customer satisfaction survey that we didn't have completed until last August. So it identified some of the needs that we're now trying to address. And we just appreciated the opportunity to work with the stakeholders and work with the committee to try to address those needs. As Dallas indicated, we've shared this proposal on our application assistance initiative with our board members. I heard from all five of them. They're supportive of it. We're funding it out of efficiency savings. We're not looking at new staff. We're just reducing the reduction, if you will. And I think just as importantly as these two positions, it's kind of a cultural change too, where the four current group presenters that I've got, plus my staff in Salem and in Tigard, now are going to feel like, okay, I've got the opportunity to provide this face-to-face application assistance. If we've talked to somebody on the phone three times and we're just not closing the loop, we can say, look, we're going to be out in La Grande in another 30 days. We'd be happy to sit down and meet with you. I think there's a shared interest between the members, the employers, and the agency in getting these applications filled out as completely and accurately as possible. We're going to put more than these two staff position resources into this, and I'm hoping to come back and report real positive things out of it.
I see I have three senators with their hands up. Protocol would say I should go on a first-come, first-served basis, but since one of the senators has not had the opportunity to speak to us for several days, we'll start with Senator Bates.
I'll take that as a compliment, not a zinger. On the question of other funds, true other funds, it's been a real mixed bag. And I think we have a responsibility as legislators to look at these budgets, even though they're not general fund, and say what's best for this agency, what's best for the people we serve, and that's what we're trying to do here. And so mm-hmm. it's been hit and miss. And there's been agencies where we said no 2% cut, and others where we have said let's go and make the cut. And sometimes the cuts have been bigger than that. At least it is varies. And I think the variation is a result of careful evaluation by LFO and by the people involved. I would like to say, though, that when I think of this particular agency we're looking at today, where they were 6-7 years ago, and all the things that have changed, and the demographics they're dealing with, and what they're doing now, it is night and day. This agency has done a 180-degree turn. We have a plan that looks like it's on sound financial footing, maybe even better than many other states which have not funded their future. They have unfunded needs in their retirement systems, which are going to come back and really get in trouble in the next few years. Our PERS system appears to be managed reasonably well, especially all the changes that have occurred, and seems to be on solid solid grounds financially. So I would have a sense to move this budget forward, Mr. Chair. I think people have done a good job. They're responsive to the customer base, and they're responsive to us, and that's a pretty high mark to hit.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Johnson.
This is going to sound like piling on the bouquet toss. I just in listening to the LFO staff describe taking control of the agency, I didn't want to have left the impression that things were not going well at the agency. I agree with my colleague and friend Senator Bates when he comments on the turnaround in the agency, and I think really high performance. You guys have reacted very well to the inevitable curveballs that the courts have thrown you. I think you've been very nimble in responding to the change, and I just didn't want to leave the impression, and I say this respectfully to Dallas, when he said taking control of the agency, I think you are. And so I just didn't want to leave the impression that there was any criticism of the agency. I think you've done very well.
Thank you. I think Dallas is just identifying that there's nothing but opportunities to excel, and he expects us to excel.
That's what I heard.
That's what I mean.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. Director Cleary, have you been able to quantify any potential savings or estimate any potential savings to the public or to the PERS system created by the two outrider positions?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, I would just give one example where we've got a contested case going on right now that involved a police officer out in LeGrand that really didn't understand his purchase option and understand that the purchase had to occur. He wanted to buy his waiting time and perhaps some military time, that purchase had to occur before his effective retirement date. We're in a contested case on that. Our average contested cases can run $20,000 to $30,000 by the time they're completed. So if we can eliminate just one of those, and if we can eliminate 10 of those, and I certainly believe we can, we recover this expenditure simply from that. We also are looking at this from a performance standpoint. You remember that we've gotten to the point now where we're trying to process at least 80% of these applications in 45 days, and we're not hitting that mark. So I think we'll have both savings and performance improvements as a result of this.
Thank you.
Other comments, questions, concerns? I think I want to echo some of the comments by all of my colleagues this morning who have spoken on this. I think first starting out, I'm pleased with the agency and what changes have taken place, the progress that's been made. It's pretty easy to look back and say that there were a lot of problems, a lot of mistakes, including in some of those mistakes were mistakes made by this particular body. When it came to statutory approval of some of the policies in relationship to things that initially got the agency in trouble, the agency having the trouble further complicated by a crash in the market and and those types of things. And then with that, accompanying those problems, certainly the various and sundry reforms that were made by this particular body, which maybe those reforms were necessary. This is not right now the place or time to discuss the merit of those. Simply the fact that they took place, and instead of having a fairly simple little system to administer, we suddenly have an extremely complicated system to administer. And then not only is the system complicated, it is further complicated because we cut into some members' benefits, which logically leads to litigation, and litigation further complicates the agency's workload and problems. And I think they've done a great job in basically working their way through that, and so I do commend them for that, and I commend them for the efficiencies that they've brought forward for us. And I've known this particular director ever since I've been in the building, and I have confidence that they looked at these efficiencies very carefully when they were asked to do them. And that they didn't bring us efficiencies that they thought would cripple the agency, when they were implemented. So I do appreciate that. The issue I think that Representative Galizio brings up I think is a good and important one. I would, and as we expressed last time, as I expressed last time, I don't think. 6 weeks before I decide to retire is, necessarily good retirement planning. But the decision of retirement planning should be initiated when one takes one's first job and begin that process at that point and continue it throughout their working career. But unfortunately, while we can sit in this around this dais here and make comments about what should be, that isn't what we've got out there. We've got a lot of people out there, and I don't believe all of them have PhDs in accounting, retirement planning, or any of those sort of things, they didn't make good decisions earlier on, maybe, and right now they're not sure of all of the decisions that, truly at this point in one's life, when you make the decision to retire, it's the biggest decision you're going to make for the rest of your life, probably. So there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of uneasiness about it. The simple process of retiring makes most people pretty who go through it pretty uneasy. Losing your work role, which has been so much a part of your life, and then complicate that with not knowing whether you're going to have enough bread to keep on the table further. That problem. So. The idea Representative Galizio has of providing more of this type of service across the state, not just in the outlying hinterlands, though we've identified the hinterlands because right now they don't have the access that the folks in the metro area and the Willamette Valley have. But I think it's something, and I believe we've asked them to report back to us on a regular basis on this. And, Representative, I think this is something that, especially for the younger members of the committee who will be around to watch this process several sessions on down the road, I think this is an issue you want to continue to examine very carefully in subsequent legislative sessions. Looking at the data that they give us and, probably, and maybe in the next session, expanding that service. They will have performance measures on which they'll base that. They'll have some other types of data that we can base those decisions on. So I really applaud your bringing that issue forward, Representative, and I would further hope that you'll continue to have it as an agenda as you pursue your legislative career. Making an assumption, which I know I don't have a legitimate right to make.
Retirement is sounding pretty good.
So, if there are no other comments, are there any disagreements? Any no's on the recommendation? Hearing no's on the recommendation, the PERS budget will be moved on to the full Ways and Means Committee. And Senator Whitsitt, would you be willing to carry in the full Ways and Means and on the floor?
Yeah.
Senator Whitsitt will do it on the floor. And Representative Polizio, would you be willing to do the same on the House side?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So ordered. And with that, I think, unless Dallas has words of wisdom for us. In other words, the motion passed.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll close the work session, and with that, then we are adjourned. Yeah.